was a bit loud, sorry. Great to see you. Great to see more of the seats filled up this week, which is great. This has been an amazing morning, and so I know we've got about 40 minutes together before the needing to go to Quinana. But I just wanted to thank you first and foremost. I have loved being with you as a church. You inspire me. I love watching you hang around with each other and do life together. I love the newbies that come and they're sort of wondering what the heck's going on. I just call it just embrace the awkward, okay? And then I love how the church is becoming this machine of people that just want to meet. They're getting beyond themselves and like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to ask. I don't know. And we just get beyond ourselves and go, hi, how are you going? And have a conversation. There is such a prophetic sense in this space. But today we're going to do a little bit of teaching. And thank you for those that arranged the cross. And by the end of today, we're going to just gather together and we're going to bring ourselves as an offering. I love the songs because they just match everything that I was hoping to say. And we'll see, hopefully we'll get through everything that I was hoping to say. But I do know that there is something that is God is establishing with C3 Mandurah, C3 Fremantle. I live in Mandurah, C3 Fremantle, and also in Quinana. Tuesday night, I thought I had hazy eyes on them. I thought my eyes were a bit, because I wear glasses, because it makes me look handsome, apparently. Specsavers. But what I did see over the leadership team, and it was literally as I looked, there was, I thought it was just my eyes because it looked a little bit hazy and a bit cloudy in here. And I went to rub my eyes and I put my glasses on and it was still that way. That's only happened one other time in my life and I didn't get to see it. So that's why I'm just needing to tell you this little story. At the age of 16, can you imagine this, okay? A mullet afro. I know. Now you've got the dome, you know, the cone or whatever it is. But back then I had a mullet afro and totally good looking. And I was skinny. I know. So I looked like a microphone on a stand. So just skinny body and a big afro, okay? Mullet afro. Not just an afro, a mullet afro. And at age 16, and if you can believe this, back in the day when hip-hop was starting to happen, they used to have dance crews. And so dance crews would form just friends or at school or whatever. And then you would go into the city and then you would have dance-offs. And if you made it through those levels, then you went into the clubs and you had a dance-off in the club. So the best representatives would go to the clubs and dance-off. So here I am, my year 11 self with my big afro. Oh, no, sorry, year 10. But unfortunately, I'm not the best. I may look like I have rhythm, but I don't. Everyone thought I was really good at basketball because I had a mullet afro and I had a bit of a tan. Oh, we'll have him. But then when they saw me in the first 5 minutes of playing basketball, I didn't have game at all. No, you have him. No, you have him. No, you have him. And at about 16, I'm laying on, back in the day, we had records for those who don't know, they're vinyls. And I'm laying in front of this record, a record player, and Andre Crouch was the record I was listening to. And there was a song that came on. I was just sort of laying after school, you know, after you raided the fridge and ate like whatever you ate in mum's food and half a loaf of bread and just sitting laying there now, just having a bit of a siesta. The record's playing and this song came on, Tell Them. And it talks about a lonely man that doesn't have a home. Tell them that I love them. And it just goes through these different people and different scenarios of people facing life and doing it tough or doing it good. But God's song to them was, can someone please just tell them that I love them and that I came to set them free? And I began to cry. Again, cool dude, mullet afro, skinny, not a basketballer, not a dancer, but in the crew, crying and crying and crying. My mum, who had the joy of raising five boys, I don't know if it's bad or good, but she was blessed with the inability to smell. And so mum's outside, and all I hear mum coming through the laundry door going, "Clinton, Clinton, please turn the stove off. I think I've left something on the stove. It's burning." And so then obviously in my coolness, I can't let mum see that I'm crying. I'm wiping my tears away. I get up and I go to the stove and there's nothing on the stove. And she goes, "Why is this cloud in the place? It looks like something's burning, and it just like there's a cloud." And I'm trying to look, where's the cloud, where's the cloud, where's the cloud? But that was the day that God encountered my life. And I got up from there, and instead of going to the lunchtime, you know, dance crew dance off in the drama room, I decided to start a prayer meeting in one of the other rooms, because God had so touched my life to say, "Will you tell them that I love them and that I came to set them free?" Now, not everyone in school went, "Oh, Clint, you're awesome. That's great." "Oh, Clint, you're an idiot." It was one of the terminologies, and there were some other expletives with that. But what we did see was that God began to touch people's lives. And there was a friend of mine, Brad, who pastors a Horizon Church in Sydney where the previous Prime Minister used to go to. And it was in that setting that Brad and I met, and we just began to pray and just encouraged him in his faith, where he was sort of half-stepping. We were able to gather and just to pray and encourage and do that. And so you never know when God just touches your life. So that's what I really feel that today is. I'm taking way too much time giving you that explanation, because I really want you to understand there is an open heaven on your church, C3 Fremantle. The church is not the building. The church is not just the leadership. The church is you and I. And so we get to go, "Hey, listen, everywhere that we go, the presence of God goes with us. And every person that we pray for, that maybe have a stomach issue or whatever other issue, God is able to heal, to make a way where there is no way." And that reminds me of a lady. I can't give you her real name because I haven't asked permission. So we'll call her Tanya. And knowing my ability to forget that I actually told you Tanya, and I'll actually say her name, so forgive me if I do. And Tanya was the lady that was born into Hinduism, and at a very, even in the womb, they would do these beads over her mum's tummy, and she would writhe in her in the mum's tummy, and they would think it's cute. But later on, she just said that this demonic presence was all through her life, from and just destroying every part of who she was, from abuse, from uncles and family members and others, physical, sexual, emotional, and then went deep into other kinds of religions, the orange people and all of that sort of thing. Stomach cancer, brain disease. I'm giving you the real highlight reel. But came to church and was annoying. It was like literally annoying. "I'm coming here. I'm not going to cause trouble." That annoying sort of person. You know that person? Attention seeking, just being annoying. You want to kick them out. And our goal was not to kick people out, but to love them. And we just loved them. Because she wanted us to kick her out, because then the church kicked me out. And C3 Fremantle, I wanted to tell you that the glory is not just for us to get our fix. Sorry, I shouldn't go for a drug paraphernalia. We come to church, we get our fix, and then we go on and we do every day. C3 Fremantle, I'm letting you know that day is gone. It is about you getting equipped. We talk about halftime huddle. We talk about this is not so much as in game day. This is the halftime huddle where you get your position, where you get instructed what you need to do on the field, and you get equipped to do that. You get all the resources that you need to do that, and then you're released to go out and play the game Monday or Sunday through Sunday. And so as you are playing the game of life and doing life with people, and as you are being the light of the world, as you are being salt, so you make things better and you make things brighter. So wherever you go, you make things better and brighter. Why? Because the presence of God is on the inside of you. Because you're being equipped in this space to go, hey, listen, this is how we do life. This is how we love people unconditional. So getting back to Tanya, Tanya was annoying. And the fact that we didn't kick her out and that we loved her, and then someone, oh my gosh, I got no phone to confess this to you. Someone helped her to get a medical substance, not really, to help her with her seizures. She would come to church and just fall out because of seizures. There's no like flashing lights, she would just fall out. But all through that, we loved her, loved her, loved her, loved her. And then God touched her life. And today she is one of the most amazing and inappropriate evangelists I've ever met in my life. She's a beautician and she's a masseuse and she's does an amazing business that way. But she has seen people give their lives to Christ. She has massaged witches. And they startle off the table and they go, what did you just do to me? She goes, nothing, I was just massaging you. There's worship playing in the background, instrumental that no one would know. She's just massaging, but every stroke she's praying because she knows what life was like before when she gave into another deity to help her do the massage. But now that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of her, and this witch startles up, looks at her in an abusive tone, what did you do to me? Threatening to punch her. She goes, nothing. Why? What happened? She says, as you would rub, literally light, like a flash of lightning would, her eyes are closed and she would get this flash of lightning, but it would be this flash of love that would go into her. And she would, by the end of that session, this woman was crying. And rather than going, I just don't want to come back to this place, or you're a witch, you shouldn't come back into this space, she said, can I come back again? Can I come back again? The power of God's love is able to turn any circumstance, any situation around. Our job is to love them like Christ loved them. All right, we're good? Okay, if you have your Bible, try to follow along because I'm not sure where we're going to go. But we are going to end up at 2 Corinthians 5. So if you have your Bible, let's go there. There's this real sense to just really speak over people's lives today. There's this young couple in the second last row. Hi, how are you going? If you're, yeah, you too, yeah. Listen, if you cut your hair, can you give me some? That would be really awesome. Appreciate that. I saw you walk in. I don't know if you're a part of this church. I'm not sure. I don't know you from Barrasso. But thanks for visiting. If you are visiting, God bless you. Make sure that we hook them up. I mean, make sure that we greet them afterwards. Genuinely, people. But I just really felt a sense that God wanted you to know that he actually has you and that he's going to be the shepherd that leads you and he's leading you into this next season for your life. That you're not, he's not the kind of shepherd that we know here in Australia, you know, with the dogs and the whistles and come around. No, he's the shepherd in the context of David when he's writing the Lord's my shepherd. He's the one that walks out in front and he says, my sheep know my voice. You're going to know his voice in this season. And he's just letting you know, I've got you. But it's not just I got you now so to make your life all awesome, but he's I got you because he's calling you to a future that you're going to walk and follow him, his voice. Like God, okay, God wants us to be here. God wants us to do this. God wants, and you're going to know his voice because there's in the myriad of other voices and that are challenging and trying to distract, you're going to know the voice of God because I think there's something that's on your life. Like I just see his hand. And I see him clothing you guys with something. He's mantling you for something. But I just really wanted to encourage you today. Thanks for visiting. Sucked in. Oh, we just wanted to go in and go out without no one seeing us. But yeah, cool. That's pretty good. Sometimes when we need to know his voice, we need to know that we're going to walk through some stuff. Because like he's just, David comes out through Psalm 22 going, oh man, this is just tough. Really hard space. But then Psalm 23 says, you know what, in case of the hard space, the Lord's my shepherd. But he doesn't stay in Psalm 23, he goes to Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, where there's just an opening and a revelation of God and and the Almighty, he places his name Almighty in that psalm. He's the God of all might. All right. Let's move on. All right. I'll talk to you about a stallion. A little story about a wild stallion. Trying to be free, didn't want anyone to control it, didn't want anyone to pen it in or live in a paddock in, it was in any sort of restricted area. Decided to jump the fence one day and just wanted to be free. I just want to be free. I don't want to be restrained. I don't want to be told what to do. I just want to be free, and managed to escape. And he jumps the fence, and all he wanted to do was make sure that he could do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, with whomever he wanted, and no one could tell him what to do. And as he began to gallop in his freedom, and he loved his freedom, and there would be these other cowboys and these people from the different villages would try to capture this horse and try to restrain it, but he would be able, just the strength of it, it would just be able to break through every trap, and he would just run. But the fact of the matter is that he was struggling, because now he was going, okay, I'm running here. So I need to get food. I need to find water. I don't know where those places, but he would come across it at some point, would have some grass and he would nibble on some stuff and then find some water. But the water was a bit brackish, wasn't that clean. And he's finding himself more and more in his freedom that he wanted, because he didn't want to be controlled. Now he's being restricted. And as he's jumping through fence, running through at night, in the cold, in unable to be sheltered in any way, he finds that his health is beginning to deteriorate. In fact, there's cuts on his legs now that are being infected and infested. And he's getting weaker and weaker. Eventually, a cowboy catches him. He's able to capture him and take him home. And in that place, he thinks, oh, all my freedom is gone. But in that space, in that place, the cowboy begins to look after him, begins to mend his wounds, gets a vet in, gets actual proper food that'll give him strength. Because in his strength that he had lost all of that strength. And we find this horse that was once weak, now still is finding someone that has captured him, but is actually loving and nurturing and helping him. It wasn't until this horse was fully submitted to a loving owner, a caring master, that he fully experienced freedom. I told you the story of Tash. See, in Scripture, the paradox of Christian faith is that freedom comes through surrender and victory comes through submission. Freedom comes through surrender. Victory comes through submission. And I felt that God wanted me to tell that story, not because we haven't read Word before telling the story, but it's really to encourage people right here, right now, because you're in that place where you're going, you know what? I just want freedom. I just want out of church. I want out of God. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own place. I don't want to be told what to do, who to listen to, who not to listen to. I want to be in control. And the journey that takes you on is no different to this stallion. Because in your zest for freedom and in your ability to break control, because sometimes we feel like church is that, like, what a waste. What a waste of life. Giving your life to Christ, what a waste. Giving your tithe, what a waste. Serving in the house of God, what a waste. And there's so many other opportunities that are demanding our attention and calling us. That back in the day with my big afro and wanting to, you know, the ultimate was going to a club, because we're all underage, going to a club and having a dance off. And then, you know what, you'd have this notoriety that you were so cool. And, you know, you would like get cheeks and all of that. Hey, what's up? But the reality of it is that a lot of those people that we did that back in the day, this is like, I was 16 and I'm now 56, so do the math. In that space, I still caught up in that place. Still caught up trying to. Third or fourth marriage, still trying to. Still addicted, still trying to. Not everyone. I'm not saying that everyone that's done that is that way. But what I do know is that at 16, when God encountered my life, he saved me. I'd given my life to Christ. In church, I was a good little Christian boy. I grew up in church all my life. But in that moment, God actually saved me. Because in that moment, I understood what he had paid for me. Not just that he saved me from drugs and that he saved me from negative things. No, no, no. Please don't just hear that. What he saved me was not only he saved me from the power of destination and the of sin, but what he saved me to was into relationship with God. And so we're talking about the guy, Paul, who writes in 2 Corinthians 5, which we are going to get to right now. And we're going to read from the Passion Version, then also from the NIV. So our great people on the desk that help us do all of that, I appreciate you. Let me just give you this one quick verse, 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let me read it again. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Turn to your neighbor and go, he loves me. Oh, come on, say it with a bit of conviction. I know you're in church and oh, I don't want to talk. I don't get paid to talk in church service, Pastor Clint. That's your job. But I want you to say with all the commitment that's on the inside of you, he loves me. Come on. Amen. But that he loved us and that he sent his son to be the punishment for my sin. There is a just God that reigns in heaven. And a just God produces judgment and justice. And he says the wages of sin is death. That's what the wage of sin, the payoff of sin, sin being that I live my life, it's not just doing bad things. Sin is a mindset, a heart set that says, God, I don't need you. I am the own God of my own life. At the core of what sin is, that's what it is. When Satan was in heaven, you know, leading the worship team, having a jam, and then he gets, I want to be like the Most High God. I want to be God. I want to be worshipped. I want to be the one that's adored. I want to make my own decisions like that stallion. I want to do what I want to do. And you know what, God, now I just get you to be my genie. I rub you really good in prayer. I ask you to bless my life. I ask you to do the nice things for me. And now you give me three wishes, and then God doesn't give you your three wishes. And then you think, well, what's the use serving you, God? What's the use? I prayed for this, and this person died. I was believing for that, and that happened. So what's the use actually even serving you? And when we don't realize the payment that was paid for us, he's not my genie, he's my Jesus. He's not the one that serves me, I serve him. And why? Because it's right here, it says that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The payment of sin was justified on Jesus. So this is what God has paid for you. Oh, but Pastor Glenn, you don't know, I still struggle with stuff. I get that. But I want you to see the finished, completed work of Jesus Christ. The reason that we struggle with stuff is because we're just not having the revelation of actually what's been paid for. Because sometimes we think, if I give my life to Christ, then that's it. But we don't understand, hey, listen, he took your place. That Psalm 22 is what he quotes on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? God, why? God, why? And this is the Son of God. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that the Father turns his back and it pleased the Father to bruise him. We'd be reporting Father God to DCP going, hey, listen, how do you allow that to happen to your son? And the fact of the matter that he allowed that to happen to his son, because he had a plan in place, he knew that he would resurrect, but the fact that he did that, he knew about you and me. He knew about us, and he said, listen, without this sacrifice, without this payment, without that bruising, they will never be ever reconciled back to me, never back in right relationship with me. Jesus, I need you to do that. And Jesus says, yes, count me in. Count me in, God. Count me in. I will give my life for them because I love you. And so Jesus steps into that place and the judgment and the wrath of God is put on him. Not only that, all of my sin, all of my brokenness, all of my hurt, all of my shame, all of my guilt, everything was placed on Jesus. Every disease, everything that was on him. And then God judged it. and then he was buried. Can you imagine Jesus on the cross? Why, God? My disciples that I invested my life turned against me. I'm vulnerable and naked, beaten to a pulp in front of all these people. My mother and my disciples are seeing my nakedness. God, why? In that moment, Jesus felt what it was to be separated from the love of God. He went into that place so that no one else would ever feel what it is to be separated from the love of God. He took your place. He took my place. And we come to this moment and we come to this place. And this is not an evangelistic message. This is a message for the church going, understand the completed work of Jesus Christ. Understand that he has completed everything for you. So now you can live. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians and we'll bolt from there. 10:13. What time do we need to leave? 10:15?
I don't even know.
Yeah, worship team, you come up. Let me just read this real quick to you. I'm reading out of the Passion. Oh, let me read it out of this one first. So let's jump down to 14. And just doing NIV, sorry, Chief. It says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Listen to this. Don't just switch off right now. We'll be distracted. For Christ's love is the compelling thing. One of the things that I want to encourage you, C3 Fremantle, don't live out of duty or obligation. Don't serve God out of those two places. Serve God out of a place that's because what he did for me compels me now, constrains me to tell you, to love you, to be kind to you, to know him. His love compels me. His love was so done so that Jesus became my sacrifice, my judgment base. That's how much he cares about you. It's not just for us to feel morbid about that. It's actually to celebrate the fact that Jesus took my place. I'm free now to actually live for him. So it's not what he's just saved me from, but it's what he saved me into. He saved me into a right relationship with God. And so that your offense and your judgment about me and you're speaking about me and you're getting annoyed with me, I can really get upset with you and get my knickers in a twist. And you know how we do that in church and we get offended by people. It does not compare with the love of God. And so now that I serve in the house, when I'm not doing it out of my obligation, oh, it's my turn on roster, I better go to church. Or, you know, if nothing else better comes on the Sunday, I better go to church. No. I want to gather with God's people because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, that's where he is. And so I want to get around him and go, God, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done for me. We sang about it this morning. And so when we live as a church from a place of not just going, I have to, but God, I get to do this because you love me so much. 23 years of ministry right now that I've done since back in the day. And before that, youth group leading, toilet rosters, all of those sorts of stuff. I get it. But for me, the thing wasn't about I have to do this. Maybe it started in that space. But right now is God, I get to do this every day. So John, a guy that I just met in the shopping center as I was walking past him, and he was telling me that how he had bought all these lottery tickets, hadn't won anything. And in the next 2 minutes, I'm praying with John about God touching him and working out his neighbor's issue. And I said, thanks, John. Just a real simple prayer, eyes open prayer, talking, walking, praying. And John goes, oh, my day's going to be so much better from now. Don't know if John's a Christian, but hey, John, that's pretty rubbish that you're going through that. Can I pray? And we pray. We just pray for people. We just love people. Be kind to people. Just be the church. Be God's love to people. Why? Because you've been loved so much. And the stuff that I really want to invite us to do in this very moment is this. We're going to sing. We've had a cross put up here, but I just want to invite people. Do you know what, God? I'm bringing my life, warts and all. And I'm just bringing it to the cross. Your offenses, your hurts, your histories, whatever it looks like. I don't care. I literally don't care. He does. I'm not saying I don't care about you. I'm not saying I just don't want you to be disqualified by coming. But as you come, God, I'm just offering my life to you. My hands, my heart, my mind, my feet. Because the love of God compels me. And it goes on in that passage that says, you know what, now that when I see people, I don't see them as flesh and blood. I see them the way you see them, God. And then that's how we introduce them to the most amazing relationship ever, the relationship with Jesus Christ, or to God through Jesus Christ. Let's all stand and then we're going to pray. Spirit of God, come upon each and every heart. For Christ's love compels me, because we are convinced that one died for all. You're all. You're part of all. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and raised again. The invitation that I'm asking for you right now is that I'm asking you to step from your seats. I'm stepping out from myself. And God, I'm going to give my life to live for others. That's the prayer that I'm inviting you to. If that is you, team, why don't you